This week on Corner of the Sky, we return to quintessential classic musicals with a conversation about Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler follows the story of Tevye, the father of three daughters in a traditional Jewish community in 1905 Russia, as he navigates traditions, threats, and the marriages of his daughters. This show, though often boisterous and funny, is set during the pogroms of Russia, and the tight-knit community faces mounting danger from the nearby Christian soldiers. Talking about Fiddler with me today is Adam Harrison, a friend of mine who comes at this musical from all angles, as a fan, a performer in the show, and someone whose great-grandparents experienced those same dangers. I hope you enjoy our conversation about Fiddler on the Roof. Hello, I'm here today with my friend Adam, and we're going to be talking about
Fiddler on the Roof. Hi, I'm Adam. Hi, Quinn. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, Adam apparently didn't know we were talking about Fiddler on the Roof until about 10 minutes ago, despite the fact that's what he said he wanted to talk about.
I gave it as a list of options. I was not told that it had been selected as the option, but it's okay.
I also like how you came here today without this knowledge and were just like, eh.
We're going to talk about something.
Yeah, it's fine. But this was technically on the top of your list, and I guess is the only one I saw, because I just assumed...
Your booking app messenger thing is the bane of my existence. Yeah, I did the best I could.
We're not going to talk about the booking app. It didn't... Okay. It was not the solution I thought it was going to be.
It caused problems. Didn't solve them.
But at any rate, we're here anyway, and I know that you want to talk about this show not only because it's great, but also because you have a lot of personal connections to it. So do you want to start off talking about that?
Right. So Fiddler on the Roof was the first kind of real musical production I was involved in. In elementary school, it was traditional for the sixth grade class to do a homebrew production of the Odyssey. But in seventh grade, I did Fiddler on the Roof, and I was Perchik, the teacher that Tevye hires to do his students. And so that was kind of the first legitimate musical production, the first kind of supporting role, but like legitimate role with his own songs and solos that I did. And I've also seen the movie. I've seen it on Broadway. I'm a Jew. It's very kind of near and dear to my heart. And like my great-grandparents were kind of sent off is the polite way of saying it during the pogroms in Russia. So it is not horribly inaccurate to kind of my own ancestry as well.
You have possibly every connection to this show that I can think of.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until I had to explain it, but yeah.
Have you ever performed in it again, or was it just that seventh grade production?
So it was just that seventh grade. Yeah, I've done songs from it. I did a musical group in high school. I'm in a show choir right now. So I'd done songs from it, but I'd never been in the production again. Although I definitely would want to. It's something I definitely would audition for again and love to do again, because I think it's a great show.
If you were going to audition for it again, who would you want to be?
I'm going to say Tevye, because he's the main role and he's such a fun character. But I would be fine with... I think it's such a well-written play or musical, as it were. I love Tevye. I love Model and kind of the fact that he is a real human being. He comes off as a three-dimensional character with dreams and desires and weaknesses, and he overcomes some of those. I think Perchik is very well done. I think it'd be one of those three are the people I'd want to be, but I also like just the interactions between the Russians and, well, the Russian Christian/Catholics, can't remember exactly which they are, and the Russian Jews. I think it's just very well done. There's this tension of the Christian Catholics want the Jews to leave, but also they know them. There's some connection with them. And whether it's dancing in the bar, congratulating Tevye on his daughter's engagement, or warning Tevye before trashing said daughter's engagement party, I think the interactions are really rich and complex to a satisfying degree.
Mm-hmm. That kind of leads us into the themes of the musical, which I want to talk about before we get into specific music and particular things like that. So definitely one of, like you were talking about, the overarching ideas of this musical is this relationship between these two different groups and how, like, that ends pretty badly for one of the groups. But
it ends pretty badly for my team, yes.
Yeah. But you get to see, like, over the course of the musical, how those play out and how it's not just a very simple black and white arrangement, even though at the end, like, looking back in history, it can seem like that. And then also you have everything going on from the perspective of this Jewish family, especially in terms of tradition and the way that the new generation defies tradition and is testing Tevye, this patriarch, on the limits that he'll go for his daughters.
Tradition. Tradition.
Yeah. We're going to do that every time. It's just going to...
I have to fight myself from interrupting you because it's segues.
Yeah. Is this a theme that you think still resonates today, this tension between generations?
I do. I think there's a lot of tension in the relationships in this play. The two parties, like we've mentioned, Tevye and his traditions, his own... I mean, we see, because he's the main character, so much of him cursing God, praising God. Maybe that's a message that really rings to today, of being aware of your traditions, of weighing them, and realizing that there is worth to them, and realizing that that doesn't mean they should not be pushed away or replaced. That some things in the musical, the daughter's happiness and his love for his family, but in life there are many things that kind of are more important than the traditions we hold to.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is one of those shows that, even though it seems like it's presenting like a past idea slash a more extreme idea, that the ideas that it's representing, you still see them play out over and over again in modern society, which is probably why it's still such a beloved musical.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And even with the Christians and the Jews, their interactions are not so strange that it would be something we would be surprised at or unbelieve today if you replace the labels of those two groups. They were getting along. There was a power imbalance, but it was not dangerously so. It was not kind of really hurting either group until the scales tipped enough that it did, and the Christians had to send them away, and not everyone was happy about it. You had Russians that loved the Jews. You had Russians that were friends with the Jews, and yet they were sent away. And if you replace the label Russian and you replace the label Jew, you could come up with many different categories that would still pretty accurately describe today.
All right, so putting aside the broad themes of the musical for now, we may come back to them later, let's talk about the music. So there's definitely a very distinctive style of music in Fiddle on the Roof, and it's one that has persisted and also been replicated by Gwen Stefani at one point in time. There's a lot going on here.
Really? What's the specifics for Gwen Stefani?
No, the song Rich Girl.
Yeah, fair. I guess I never made that connection.
Yeah, for context, one of the songs in Fiddle on the Roof is If I Were a Rich Man, and at some point, Gwen Stefani made a cover called Rich Girl, which is just, like, the same song, but from a female perspective and with a lot more electronica pop.
Yeah, that's the modern adaption.
Yeah.
I would not mind a electronica pop version of Fiddle on the Roof. Maybe some electro swing. Could be interesting.
I would say I can see it, but I can't. I'm not getting there for
you. That's why I'm curious. It'd be interesting.
I mean, we do have The Great Comet of 1812 now, which is taken Tolstoy and...
I know nothing about it other than it did very well with Tony nominations.
It did. It was had the most number of Tony nominations this year. Yeah, it's a good show. I saw it. This is not relevant, but as a side note, fun Broadway stuff. I saw it while it was in Boston before I went to Broadway. And I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but a lot of people do. And it's described as, I think, an electronic opera adaptation of like a 72-page excerpt of War and Peace.
Interesting.
Don't know where it came from, but it's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not gonna happen if you're on the roof anytime soon.
No, it's okay. It's aged well.
Yeah, I think so. So probably the most, I don't know, it's hard to say what the most iconic song from Fiddler is.
I think a lot of people know Tradition. It's the big opener, and it's such a fun opener because you have almost everyone from the cast involved. I actually think you literally have everyone from the cast involved. And you have kind of the big main groups, and it's the main groups being the fathers, the sons, the mothers, and the daughters. You have the town arguing with each other. You have the Russians coming in and out. And it's such a strong just number that everyone kind of walks out singing or humming the tradition, tradition. But I also think you have Tevye's, like, If I Were a Rich Man, and that's very memorable. Sunrise, Sunset is not as memorable, but I know a lot of parents, and I remember performing the show, and when I saw it performed, that number, which talks about, from the perspective of a parent watching your child grow up and grow away, I know that number really resonates with them. I know that that number really resonates with them. But I mean, there are so many ones, and I'm trying to just familiarize myself with the score. Matchmaker, Matchmaker, probably not as well known, but I really like that because it has a very clever pun. Playing with matches, a girl can get burned.
Ooh.
I'm a sucker for bad puns. Yeah, there are a lot of good ones in it.
Yeah, I was listening to, the soundtrack yesterday in preparation for this. And as I was listening through it, because I have never seen the show performed live. I have seen the movie and I've listened to some of the music elsewhere. And I was like, wow, I know more of these songs than I was expecting to. And first of all, because there aren't actually that many songs on the cast recording.
No, I was definitely surprised when I looked at the score and realized there are, I mean, definitely less than 20. But not nearly as many numbers as I thought there were, but each one you kind of remember and I could probably sing a little bit or know a little bit about, because they're well done songs that have messages, and some of them don't resonate as much as I am partial to Perchik's solo, Now I Have Everything. It's not, you know, the best song in the show, but it is a very good song. It has a message of, like, being satisfied and achieving a goal. He found love, and it wasn't kind of the revolution that he was looking for, but it was a revelation to him.
A plus. I'm impressed. You really did go there.
I like my puns.
Just a really quick side note, there was a line in Sunday Close, which is a song that our show choir did last semester, where one of the lines is, the girls are hot as a fuse. It just reminded me of the playing with matches thing, because it's supposed to be, like, a clever play on words, I guess, but just is like, is she gonna blow up in your face? This doesn't seem like a good metaphor.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Playing with matches, a boy can get burned. They're dangerous things.
Don't play with matches is all we're saying here.
I guess that's a good point.
PSA, this podcast says, don't play with matches.
Sponsored by the National Forest Service. Oh, please, guys. Only you can prevent forest fires.
On another note of songs in this show, One of them is To Life, which is a really fun number. And I started playing and I was like, why do I know this? And then I realized I knew it because Lin-Manuel Miranda sang it at his wedding. And oh, yeah. I had watched the recording of it. And so I was like, this is so familiar, but it seems wrong somehow. And then I realized because I'm used to hearing someone else sing it, which I just thought was very funny.
I think that's one of the best celebratory, just like festive songs out there, or at least that I can think of easily on hand. And it's like performing that number, everyone's up on tables and you're jumping around and you're cheering and half the time you're shouting instead of singing. And it's just such a fun song, kind of praising life and praising the fact that sometimes life sucks, but all you can do is move on. And sometimes life doesn't suck, and you should really enjoy those bits.
Yeah, it's a song that really holds up to his name, I will say.
Sure, we'll go with that one.
I don't think that was a hidden message. So tell me about the time that you actually went and got to see this on Broadway.
So I saw, I believe, the 2015 revival, or at least the cast associated with the 2015 revival, and they were very good. But what really stood out to me in that one was their Tevye, because I, you know, from performing the show and from seeing the movie and from seeing snippets of it other place, I was used to a very specific Tevye. My read of it as well is this gruff Tevye who, under his rough exterior, hides a good heart, and he is devoted to his God, even if he is upset with him sometimes. But the show, the Broadway show, portrayed this very snarky Tevye who wasn't silly, but was kind of flippant at times and kind of like shook his fist at himself more than he shook his fist at God and other people. And at first that caught me a little off guard because it was so contrary to what I was expecting, but I really grew to like it. And the performer did a fantastic job and he had a wonderful voice. And just seeing him, like, during If I Were a Rich Man, just shaking his way across the stage. And he had a lot more fun, I think, with some of the numbers than I had seen or expected Tevye's before. And that meant that you kind of smiled a little bit more, but got a little more engaged and involved in his path through this musical.
I really like that. I like the idea of just being able to identify with that character and really root for him across his journey, which, I mean, like, Tevye is supposed to be a very likable character. That's what makes the show work. Because if you don't like Tevye, then the whole point of his struggles and dealing with tradition and his daughters really doesn't land at all.
Yeah, no, it does not land at all.
It's like, what's this guy doing?
No, he was, and that was a very fun production. And of course, everyone in the show did a great job. And I always like seeing the bottle dances. The bottle dance is when everyone is kind of toasting and congratulating Tevye and Laser Wolf on their planned, not their planned engagement, but the engagement they have planned for Tevye's daughter and the butcher. And then the Russians come in, and instead of the festivities dying down, the Russians do their whole bottle dance. And I had to do that for my production, and I love just watching that go on as people start dancing, and the Russians kind of do their dance, and then everyone just comes and dances together, and, you know, it's the whole To Life, just festive feel.
Can you describe the bottle dance?
Okay, so you balance a bottle on your head, and if you're in a legitimate production, you may or may not have it velcroed to the hat that you are wearing, because like good Jews, we are always wearing our hats. And it's kind of like lunges almost. You lunge and then you like pull slash drag your leg forward, and then you lunge again, and like a diagonal thing, and then you start jumping up and doing kind of kicks, and it's very, very Russian.
I like how there are bottles on their heads for no particular reason.
It's to show how yeah, it's like, oh, I can move and kick and jump and still keep a bottle balanced on my head because I'm talented.
Or because of Velcro.
I mean, that was theater. That was theater magic. I wasn't supposed to say that. We can cut that from the record.
We'll maintain the
illusion. They're not tricks. They're illusions.
Oh, okay. I do always like hearing about the particular dances and staging of shows that I haven't seen, because, I mean, you can listen to the soundtrack, and even when they have movie adaptations, it doesn't capture the same energy that you can have, like, in a dance.
I really like the group numbers. So you have the bottle dance. You also have, during Sunrise Sunset, this very kind of, not cliche, but just true aspect of Tevye and his wife and just the parents looking on as their kids grow up and get married, and there's this whole procession of everyone else while the parents look on. And this whole kind of, again, slightly cliche, but true-to-life aspect of parents having to watch as their children literally grow up and kind of move away before their own eyes. And then you also have the wedding dance, which is really fun, because in our production, we literally had the rope down the stage and the women dancing on one side and the guys dancing on the other side, and the guys are boisterously just grabbing arms and jumping up and having a really fun time. And then you have, if I remember correctly, Model pulled Seidel over, but you have a couple start dancing mixed gender, and then Tevye pulls his wife over, and then everyone starts dancing with the girls. And in our show, we just, it was a lot of energy, more so than refined choreo, but everyone just dancing around and having this great time, which of course is all the more dramatic when the Russians come and crash the party and you freeze and they start breaking everything and you run. And that's the end of that.
That's one of the more drastic act breaks that are out there in musical theater. It's just like, oh, everything is great. No.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like a gong. It's like, things are so happy. Stop, drop, roll, just get out. They beat up Perchik, so they're hitting you, if you're me. They are ripping apart your pillows and breaking your engagement presents. And again, if I remember correctly, the constable apologizes to Tevye. He says, like, I'm sorry, Tevye. I warned you, but we have to do this. And then he tells his men to continue. And it is a drastic mood change.
That's the part that really gets me, is that apology to him. Isn't there also, there's an advance warning at some point that...
So, the constable tells Tevye after the tavern scene where they're celebrating the engagement bottle dance into life that there's going to be a demonstration of some sort going on soon. And then Tevye goes ahead with having the engagement, and they choose to do that demonstration at the engagement party. And then later on, in the end, like near the end of the show, the constable passes along a warning to Tevye, saying, hey, you guys should leave now, or there will be a pogrom to forcibly make you leave. And Tevye, again, there has the whole, like, he bows his head and, you know, tips his hat, whatever is the gesture with your hat.
I think it's a tip.
He tips his hat at the constable and is like, thank you, constable. But you can see that it is, you know, I can't think of the exact words for the emotion, but it's not he's not super grateful to the constable. The constable is doing a little more than his duty necessitates. He is giving the Jews warning so they can gather their stuff and leave, but he's doing nothing to help them or protect them or even kind of stave off this fate for them. And Tevye, I think, thanks him in that sense. He thanks him just for the little bit that he is doing, but it's devoid of any real warmth because the constable is not doing anything of substance for the Jews.
And that's a pattern that we can see play out over history between groups and also between individual people, I think. First of all, that power imbalance that we start with, and then the point that power, you see that power be abused. And still there's these moments where, like, the constable apologizes, the constable gives an advance warning at the very end, tells them that they have to leave before he starts breaking things. But it's when he is the person actively doing the harm in the first place, those gestures, although on one hand you're like, well, great, but it means nothing. Like, it doesn't actually have any substance.
And he's not a bad person per se. The constable does not need to give these warnings like he does, and he is not the source of anti-Semitism or leading the charge of these pogroms. So he is not a bad person. He just is passive, and he lets these events go on with minimal action on his part. And in that sense, it is sad, because if you are a bystander to evil and a bystander to kind of aggression and negativity and hatred, then you are not responsible for it, but it is sad because you maybe could have had a hand in stopping it or speaking out against it.
And you're right, you make a really good point in that he is not the cause of these things. He's not, in some cases, even the direct perpetrator of them. So it's not like he could stop all persecution of Jews in Russia, but he could have done something to actually help these people. He could have even just not been complicit in their persecution, but he doesn't choose that. He chooses to just continue doing, quote unquote, his job, which has been blamed for many of the atrocities in human history.
Yeah, it's tough too. And I think this is part of why it's such a good show, because he is doing nothing. He's doing nothing, almost. But he's doing nothing particularly bad. He's not abusing his power. He is, like other people were in this time, he is not using his position of authority to extort the Jews or even kind of manipulate them, but there's so much potential good he could have done, and he does none of it. And it's sad because it's so, I mean, it is fairly close to true events. Well, you know, we weren't as singy and dancy in real life. This was a established community, and you had your yenta, your matchmaker, making matches for generations among these people, and you had your butcher that got rich because the meat trade makes you wealthy, and you had your farmer that kind of stayed poor because he has a big family, and you have a real community that is semi-successfully integrated with the Russians and the Jews. Like I said, get along even if they have a power imbalance, and then it falls apart. But this is what happened across Russia, across Poland, in some places in Germany. This is what happened to my great grandparents and my great great grandparents. This is what happened to people. And after the pogroms, unfortunately, things did not necessarily get better.
I think that part of the reason why this musical has been so successful is because it doesn't try to tackle all of those ideas on a broad level. It's very, very much about, like, this one particular story, and you see, like, the story of one family, but it's played out in the context of these larger world events. And I think that that's something that musicals often do, is you have, if you have some shows that are about, like, big sweeping revolutions, but mostly it's about very small stories, even if it's put in the setting of a larger context.
Right. And I think that's very well said, and I think that speaks to the heart of the matter, is you see Tevye and his family and what he goes through in this town, and through that you experience this greater tale of pogroms and of anti-Semitism and of traditions that you hold to and that you move past. But like you said, it doesn't try to throw all that at you by doing some grand epic, some huge production. It just follows a family. And because they go through these things, because you can empathize and connect with this character, as a human following another human's path, then you get all those more subtle meanings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone can empathize with, like, being forced out of your country, but everyone with children can empathize with, like, your daughter doing something you don't want her to do. And it's from that point that you're able to get the rest of the meaning of the show.
Yeah, and like you said, not everyone empathizes with the being thrown out of your country, but the feeling of betrayal, loss, or abandonment is not a stranger to us. And of having someone in a position of power over you enforce that power over you is something almost everyone, namely children with parents or people at school or people in a job, that's something that we have all experienced.
Mm-hmm. And we've referenced the ending of the show many times about how they do have to leave their home. But I do think the ending is interesting because it's not a happy ending, but it's not a tragic one either. Depends on how you're looking at it.
I think this kind of touches into what you mentioned earlier of the show being so successful because it is so small and focused and kind of, you know, concentrated. Life doesn't really have big beats that it ends on. Things kind of just continue. And in the musical, they are kicked out of their home, so they're going to America, and they're not happy about it, but they have somewhere they're going. And is it Hava? I believe Hava is staying in Russia with the Russian she fell in love with, and Genta is going to Jerusalem to make more matches. And that isn't happy, but it's not tragic. It's just life.
I don't know if I'm feeling, like, existential or just depressed right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I was not expecting, I've never had to think about the musical to this degree before. So there's a lot more in it than just really fun songs and dance numbers.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of, another incredible thing about musical theater is it's easy to enjoy it on so many different levels. Like, you can just listen to the songs and be like, this is, like, just a lot of fun stuff. Or you can get more engaged in the show and, like, every part of it. Or you can do what we're doing now and, like, dive deep into these themes and think about all of these messages. And it's stuff that you pick up by listening to it and watching it, but you don't necessarily think about until you actually sit down and you're like, okay, what particularly is going on here? I mean, I think that if a musical doesn't do that, it's not a really great musical.
Right. And when did this, let's see, when Fiddler on the Roof came out? 1964? Yeah. So it has casually been on Broadway for well, it was, you know, revitalized in 2015. So it's casually been on Broadway for 50 plus years. And I don't think people are getting particularly tired of it or thinking that it's ceased becoming relevant.
This show was the longest running show on Broadway for a time, and it did end up being surpassed several times over, but it's still very much up there in terms of records, and it's almost never not being staged either on Broadway or another like very professional place, and it is always in high school productions.
Yeah.
Forever and always.
Yeah.
Definitely a very much, definitely a long-lasting musical. Like you said, it was just revived a couple of years ago. I don't really see it. I don't think people were like, oh, okay, we're done now. I think we've had enough Fiddler.
What ended up surpassing it several times over?
So the original show that surpassed it was Grease.
Oh, classic Grease.
Mm-hmm. And now it is the 16th longest running show in history. I think Phantom of the Opera is number one right now.
Interesting.
And Phantom of the Opera is still on, so it's going to keep that for a while.
Okay, fine. They're all good shows. Everyone enjoys musicals. Hopefully.
Man, every time I meet someone who doesn't enjoy musicals, I'm like, oh, I can't be friends.
I just don't understand it. I'm like, you don't like singing and or dancing and or fun costumes?
Do you hate joy?
Yeah, what is... It's like when you meet people who are like, oh yeah, I don't sing. And I'm like, but you can. Just look inside your heart.
I promise, it's fun. Here, it'll be great.
Far, wherever you are, just know that the singing will come true. Not my best paraphrase of.
You were doing okay.
Anyways,
you kind of gave up.
No, but just like back to the songs. I really like all of these songs. I'm like Rich Man has kind of been going through my head. I think that's such a fun song. And like you mentioned, and like I keep going back to, it's talking about just one, it's one guy talking about like, oh, like this is kind of what I want. Like this is my fantasy. I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the center of the town. But you see like through that, oh, like he wants to be able to provide for his family, and he wants kind of the respect of his peers. He just wants to be a learned man. These are all his dreams. These are such reasonable dreams we all share. It's a fun song that just makes him so human and so real to the characters. And I think one of my favorite lines in the show, but one of the funny lines in that song is... there would be one long staircase just going up, one even longer going down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. It's such a silly line, but it's just Tevye being a human, saying silly things, because sometimes we say silly things, and our dreams aren't 100% realistic, and it's polished, but not over-polished, and it's rough, but not super rough. And I think that song maybe does a great job of showing Tevye as, the main character and as someone you can empathize with.
All of that, and I think a lot of what we've been saying, about this show really get at the heart of it, which is that this is just such a human show.
Right.
And you just can't help but to empathize with all of these characters and the struggles that they're going to, from the way the music is constructed to the dynamics that you see playing out within the family and beyond. It would be very difficult not to identify with at least one of these people.
Right. And I think Tevye and his wife, Golda, have their big song in Act 2, Do You Love Me? Do I Love You? Which also is just such a beautiful and real song, because this was an arranged marriage, but they grew to love each other. But it's not, it's just some what you would expect from real life. She's saying like, I guess I do love you. I've been with you for 25 years and you have many faults, but like I do love you. And he's saying, like, this is a different journey than what our children are going. Our children married for love, but we married and then found love. It is a very human show. So I was Perchik, and I was a small child. And so 7th grade Perchik was very small and was a high tenor. And Perchik's song is not for a high tenor. So I do sing very low and very gravelly. And as you just heard, even now my voice cracks. So my big solo number as Perchik went very poorly in rehearsals until it was the dress rehearsal before the show, and director was like, okay, like, good luck tomorrow. Pray for the past. And while I may have had to raise up some of the notes, I did it all without my voice cracking. People were very proud of me after that show. They're like, good job, like, you did it. You crushed it. And I was like, thank you. Not exactly, but thank you.
Oh, I'm proud of 7th grade Adam.
I know. It's such a low song. It's fun. It's such a... I love that everyone doesn't have a solo, but there are a lot of, like, duets and lots of just big singing roles for all the people. Of course, Tevye, but Model and Perchik, the two... I want to say the two main side boys both have their solos. And I think Models is a little bit more fun, but they're both pretty good songs. And the daughters sing with their husbands, as it were, but also have their matchmaker song. And Golda sings with Tevye in the Do You Love Me, but also the dream sequence, which is a crazy sequence, but that's another fun one. It seems just like everyone kind of really gets to sing and perform.
I think that's one of the reasons why this is so popular with middle school and high school productions, because it has, while Tevye is the main character, like, beyond that, there's a pretty even spread of roles. And also there are a lot of female roles, and because high school theater tends to be dominated by women.
It seems, maybe it's slanted more one way, but it seems like fairly well balanced in terms of just gendered roles, and it works well as a ensemble production, because you have the big opening number is ensemble, and you have the Sabbath Prayer and To Life are both company numbers, and Sunrise Sunset and the Bottle Dance and the Wedding, those are all ensemble productions. And then Act 2 gets a little less ensemble-y, but you have a lot of ensemble stuff going on for a lot of this show.
All right, and now for our mini end of the show, lightning round. Favorite song in the show?
Oh, God. It's such a hard thing to say, because there truly are so many great songs.
I don't think you know what lightning round means.
This is a lot of songs in this show. It's between Tradition or If I Were a Rich Man or To Life. So I'll say To Life.
Okay. Favorite line in the show?
Rough beats. L'chaim, To Life? I don't know, it's just like, one long staircase just going up, one even longer going down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. One of those two. Those are different messages, but good messages.
Both great. Favorite character?
Probably Tevye. Tevye. Lightning. That was quick.
There you go. Who would you recommend this show to?
I would recommend this show to everyone, but specifically, I think it is something you should see if you are Jewish, because it is culturally relevant. I think it's something you should see if you are interested in the social world and just watching two groups interact. I think it's, well, it's such a human show. I think you should see it if you're a human. But something you should see if you are maybe feeling a little sad and you feel like you're kind of just doing your role in life and you have your job or you're looking for a relationship or you're just in the middle of school and you want to see a story of someone else going through their role in life, but then dealing with the hardships and keeping going.
Very nice. And finally, if you could combine this show with any other musical, which one would you pick and why?
That's a hard question to answer in a lightning round. If I could combine this show with any other musical, I want to say Hamilton. I think Hamilton has a lot of kind of, would it be Hamilton? Like, it'd be fun to combine those two, because Hamilton has a lot, I think, more energy to it. Not passion and not emotion, but just energy going on stage, and it's constantly moving. And I think you could definitely tell a tale of a different town that had a more violent reaction to the pogroms, or there was just more drama going on, because, you know, in a little town of Anatevka, the people realize that kind of this fate is not something they can stave off and move away, but not every town was like that. So I think it'd be an interesting show to see people try to rally, fight back, and stake a claim for what is theirs, and they will fail in the end, and they will fall in the end. But that would also be an interesting production.
And on that note...
Drink Lahayam to life.
Incredible. Thanks so much for joining me today, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Quinn.
And thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Corner of the Sky. You can find us on Twitter at COTS Podcast or online at theincomparable.com/COTS. You can also find us in Apple Podcasts, where I would appreciate if you gave us a review. If you give us a review, I'd feel like a rich man. Do 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 do.